The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It is on page 97 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Allow me to read the words of God. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Amen. Pastor Timothy J. Keller, who founded the Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Manhattan, New York, in the U.S., retired in 2017. He is considered one of the greatest Christian apologists of the 21st century. One of his books is titled Counterfeit Gods, which can be translated as fake gods or substitutes for God. This book introduces five counterfeit gods, aka God's replacement that people made. The first one is all you've ever wanted. We may have a desperate wish. We think that if this one thing comes true, then there's no other wish that we will want. But such desperation can take over God's place in our life of faith. Abraham was called by God at the age of 75 and left for the land that God promised to show him. God said to Abraham, "I will make a great nation out of you, and your name will flourish. You will be blessed." Even though God had promised them like so, nothing changed for the next 10 years. Abraham did not have a single child. He and his wife Sarah were already 85 and 75 years old, respectively. For Abraham and Sarah, children had become their life wish. It took over the place of God, and so Ishmael was born through Hagar, the slave woman of Sarah. After that, 13 years until they became pregnant with Isaac were like forgotten years and erased time in front of God for Abraham and Sarah. Second is, love is not all you need. The love here is not true love, but the love of desire. You may think that you will have no more wish if you meet someone you like a lot and get married. However, even if you meet your ideal type, the ideal aspect of the person you see now is often an illusion that you have drawn, not the person's actual appearance. Later on, you may become disappointed when you learn the reality of the person, and you may insist on your idea of the person as a reality. Also, neglecting one's life to enjoy the pleasure of the moment is like pushing God out of the throne from one's life and replacing it with pleasure. Such a life becomes more empty and your sighs become deeper as time goes by. The third is money changes everything. I don't need to explain this in detail as we are all fully aware of this. So even Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and wealth. This demonstrates that people put God and wealth at the same level. The proper place of wealth is not on top of our heads, but at our feet. Fourth is the seduction of success. People want to succeed wherever they work and whichever fields they work. This is good. However, if success takes the place of God and becomes the purpose of one's life, then that life is sickened. Political parties are distinguished from other interest groups and NGOs because they ultimately aim to become the majority in power. However, if a political party wins power with the aim of acquiring power, it becomes a weapon that steps on the people, not a channel for serving the people. The most important aspect for businesses is profit maximization. But if a company regards profit maximization as the sole vision, it will carry out what it shouldn't do. Celebrities feed on the attention from their fans and popularity among viewers. However, popularity is inconsistent and changes several times a day because it is related to people's emotions. So when a celebrity aims to become popular, he or she gets addicted to drugs, though they shouldn't, or fall into other sorts of addiction out of fear of losing popularity. So the majority power in the government, profit maximization, or popularity should be the result of fulfilling one's role, not the purpose. Success can never be an end, but it must be a result of diligence and grace. Lastly, fifth one is the power and the glory. Not just politicians, but generally people want to hold on to something and they want to sit on a chair that's bigger and higher than anyone else. So they want to show that they are superior to others. Some people try to take that position by legally passing tests or becoming experts in their field to secure the position they want. And others illegally walk the path of gangsters. Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree that made them aware of the good and evil that God forbade them because they wanted to own the power and glory of God. When we humbly acknowledge that we have been placed in a particular position or own something, that it is not because of our purposes, but because of a history of God's mysterious touch, then we would not do anything ridiculous to put God's replacement in God's throne. Additionally, there are various kinds of counterfeit gods in our lives. We might not know what those are for other people, but we know ourselves. Counterfeit gods the way out of counterfeit gods is to lift up our eyes to God and regard God as our purpose. We also need to obey the word of God. After Exodus, Israelites received the Ten Commandments from Moses who went up to Mount Sinai. Until the ministry of Jesus for 1500 years, they tried to obey the Ten Commandments. They particularly tried to obey the Fourth Commandment to remember and keep Sabbath to be holy. They regarded the obedience to the Fourth Commandment as a way to check whether they are obeying other commandments well. Based on the degree of obedience to the Fourth Commandment, they evaluated whether they were worshiping other gods, idols, or profanely calling upon God's name. They also checked up on commandments about serving people, respecting their parents, not harming others' lives, and living sexually pure life. Then there are also commandments on material wealth, whether they do not steal, testify falsely about neighbors, and covet their neighbors. In other words, if one obeys the Sabbath laws meticulously, then they were regarded to have obeyed other commandments well, and vice versa. So the commandment about the Sabbath was an absolute measure for the Israelites. Especially for the Pharisees, the observance of the Sabbath laws went over the board, and it was their counterfeit God. And this is well illustrated in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, is also called the Sabbath debate. Pharisees quarreled with Jesus because his disciples cut off and rubbed wheat from the field, and Jesus' miracle of healing of the right-handed man at a synagogue happened on the Sabbath. Then Jesus tells us what Sabbath is and what we need to do on the Sabbath. These two events became the decisive moment for Jesus to be strongly opposed by the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the Jews who agreed with them. Most countries around the world use Celsius when it comes to temperature, but in the U.S., they use Fahrenheit. Most countries, they use the metric unit, measuring meters in length, liters in volume, and kilograms in weight. On the other hand, in the U.S., they use the yard-pound method and use miles, yards, feet, inches for length, and gallons for volume, and pounds for weight. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the U.S., tried to introduce the metric system, but it still is not being used. I think it won't be long before the U.S. will use the metric system. Tomorrow, July 4th, is the Independence Day in the U.S. The Declaration of Independence was adopted in 1776, and although Native Americans had lived there for a long time, it is only 246 years since the U.S. Was founded. It is this hard to change from the yard-pound method to the metric system, the world's standard metric system. When Jesus came to this land, Israel had already observed the Sabbath for nearly 1,500 years. So the Sabbath laws were almost absolute to them. But there were some things that had happened on Sabbath. Let's look at verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, which conveys the same content as today's scripture, shows that disciples cut the ears and rubbed them with their hands because they were hungry. According to the law that God gave to the Israelites, they were allowed to enter a vineyard of the neighbor and eat their grapes, but they could not bring them out in a bowl. Also, they were allowed to go into the grain fields of their neighbor to pick up grains by hand, but they could not use a sickle. Of course, now it is a civil and criminal act to enter other people's fields and do the same, but at the time, it was not wrong for the disciples to enter other people's fields and pick some grain. Actually, it was fully acceptable. But the Pharisees started a quarrel over this. Let's look at verse 2. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees quarreled not because Jesus' disciples picked and ate grain from other people's fields, but because they did it on the Sabbath. They argued because they thought the Sabbath laws, which they regarded as their counterfeit God, had not been observed. Chapter 5 in John describes a scene where Jesus heals a person who had been sitting down for 38 years near Bethesda. This is from John chapter 5 verses 2 to 9. "Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which is Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." This person is said to have been ill for 38 years. How long must that have been? Especially for the people of Israel, the number 38 is very symbolic. If you ask a Korean person, what comes to your mind first when you hear 36 years? Most people would answer 36 years of Japanese colonial rule, even though the actual period is 35 years. The Israelites spent about 2 years in the area below Mount Sinai after Exodus, and the rest of 38 years were spent in the wilderness centered on Kadesh Barnea. And in the wilderness, the first generation of Exodus died. So 38 years was a period that my ancestors spent in the wilderness, and also a period of difficulty for the Israelites. Of course, from God's perspective, it was a period of renewal of his people and a training period. But this patient had been sick for many years. It is a long period of frustration that people have to go through, and it also meant that he was in a state that no one could restore with human power. Jesus healed the person who was in such state. How awesome must that have been? If you look at the scene, you may have shouted, if you witnessed the scene, you may have shouted, Hallelujah, Amen, and you may even danced. But this did not look good in the eyes of the Jews. And here's why they saw it with such perspective in John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, The men who made me well said to me, Pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. The day that Jesus healed this patient was the Sabbath. So the Jews first thought of the provisions of the law, not thinking that people, the person that had suffered this disease, had endured a long time and had been healed there and became healthy. So the Jews didn't ask the cured, Who made you better? They asked, Who told you to pick up your mat and walk? That is, moving on the Sabbath was the same as doing work, which was an act that was not allowed. For the people of those times, the Sabbath laws were like a tyrant. There were 39 things forbidden on the Sabbath. Among them were these: scattering seeds, grinding the field, harvesting, tying grain, threshing, winnowing, grinding, picking, kneading, baking, hair cutting, weaving, knotting and untying, sewing, cutting, writing more than two alphabets, erasing more than two alphabets, building, breaking down, burning, starting fire, moving, etc. And each of the 39 has six detailed regulations, resulting in a total of 239 provisions. It was also okay to prevent the disease from worsening on the Sabbath, but it was not allowed to improve the person's condition. For example, it is not allowed to artificially make people vomit. Emergency measures were fine if your bone is broken, but connecting it was not possible. If you sprained your hand, it was possible to wash it, but not cool it with cold water. If your fence collapsed, it is okay to check if there were people in it, and if there were Jews below the debris, it was okay to remove and take out these people. But if Gentiles were below, they had to be left in the debris. And it was possible to get the Jews out, but they were not allowed to be cured. So the Sabbath laws were like a tyrant to people at the time. In today's scripture, the Pharisees are arguing over the disciples picking up some heads of grain and rubbing them. The disciples picking up grain was not to be done on the Sabbath. According to the Sabbath regulations, the disciples had harvested since they picked up some grain, and this was counted as work. Also, rubbing the grain with your hands was threshing, which counted as work, and when the shell of the mixed grain was blown away, this is considered as winnowing, thus work. Finally, the division of edible and non-edible grains among the peeled grains was picking, so also work. So the Pharisees argued, because The disciples only ate a few grains from the wheat field and ended up committing four things that they were not supposed to do on the Sabbath. Upon hearing this from the Pharisees, Jews replied to them with an example of David. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." The story is about the incident in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 1 through 6. King Saul was bent on killing David, his son-in-law, and also a loyal general. Then David went into the tabernacle with his companions and ate bread prepared before God. This was the bread that was always served in the north part of the sanctuary. It was set up in two rows, six breads per row, symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel. The priests changed it to new bread every Sabbath, and the replaced bread was eaten by the priest. David took this bread from priest Ahimelech and ate it with his companions. Although there were rules that only priests could eat bread prepared before God, David's desperate circumstances exceeded those rules. So the point that Jesus is making is that the regulation that overlooks the desperate situation of a man is incorrect. So if you look at the Gospel of Mark, there's this added explanation in chapter 2, verse 27. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Jesus clearly states that the law of the Sabbath is not for the sake of the law itself, but for men. All the laws were given to make men to be upright, not to put a snare on them and make them fall. Jesus concluded the debate on Sabbath with the Pharisees with the following verse in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." This means the way to keep the Sabbath in a correct manner is not decided by you, but by me, because it is the Lord who made the Sabbath. Then how can we keep the Sabbath, the Lord's day for us, in the way that the Lord wants us to? Is it by not skipping a single service on a Sunday? Or should we serve in various service groups on Sundays? These things are all regarding the same issue. In aggregate, we have to admit that the time given to me belongs to the Lord, not to me. Then I can spend Sundays as the Lord wishes instead of how I want to. In the Bible that I carried from high school to my second year in college, I wrote this statement on the inside cover. God gives us things and demands one-tenth of it. God gives us time and demands one-seventh. You'll probably understand what this means. What I wrote in my Bible was based on what I heard at a revival meeting at the church I attended as a high school student. The pastor who came for the retreat had told us this, and I just liked it back then. So I wrote it down in the Bible and thought about it for a long time. Let's distinguish between what's mine and God's. The basis of the sermon was verse 5 of today's scripture. Then, in second year of college, I was having a personal quiet time and reflected on chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark, which totally changed my view. Mark chapter 2 verse 28 says, "So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. In the Gospel of Luke, it says the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In the Gospel of Mark, it says the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Although the only difference is the preposition, implications of these verses are tremendously different. Of the Sabbath means only the Sabbath, but even of the Sabbath signifies that not to mention other days, but also the Sabbath. So back then, I deeply realized the fact that every day belongs to the Lord. We're sitting at the place of worship today not to return some of the time that God has given us, or that we use the rest 6 days as we wish, because we have given today to God. We are at today's service as a confession of a faith that all our time belongs to the Lord, and that time will be placed in the reign of the Lord. The same goes for us as we prepare offerings to God. It is not that I will return some of what God has given us and use the rest at our disposal, but that everything that each of us has came from God, and that everything that we have is from God. So preparing offering is a confession of faith that we will put all our wealth under the authority of God. The Pharisees tried to thoroughly follow the Sabbath laws, but they turned away from God, who gave them the law of the Sabbath, and the Lord, the master of the Sabbath. As a result, following the Sabbath became their counterfeit gods. We are people who believe in the living God, and those who lift their eyes every day towards Him. Also, we are not people who believe in God that we created or the substitute for God, but those who believe in God who made us, the Creator God. Let us struggle to live according to God's words even more than the Pharisees. And may we live a life that is more focused on God who gave us this word. May we live every day and every week as the Lord's day and the Lord's week by lifting up our eyes to the Lord. If you live that life faithfully, the Korean church and the name of the Lord will be honored again. And we will become the channels of the Lord to renew the world. Let us pray. We confess that we also have counterfeit gods, such as lifelong wish, lust, wealth, temptation of success, power, and glory. Not only these, but there are many more substitutes for God or God created by each one of us. When putting these substitutes in God's place, we thought it made us more like ourselves, but we confess that over time, we could not find meaning and we just let out a deep sigh. The Pharisees tried to thoroughly follow the Sabbath laws, but because they thought of keeping the law on the Sabbath more than about God, who gave them the law, they turned away from the Lord, the master of Sabbath, and their observance of the law became their counterfeit God. May we now follow such footsteps and live out the word of God thoroughly in our lives, and not forget for a moment that the Lord is the master of our days and weeks. May we always remember that the Lord is the master of all that belongs to us, not just time. By believing in our Creator God instead of counterfeit gods, may we become channels to renew this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.